Greetings, everyone, and welcome to episode 13 of Capes and Commentaries. I'm Nathan Kennedy, joined by the Lobster Man himself, Tyler Baker.
I'm not sunburned. It's the lighting makes me look red here.
He's out of the shadows, and now he's just about as...
I'm red. I'm furious. You know.
Yeah, he honestly about the same color as the shirt I got on the sleeves here. It's a good look for you, though.
I don't like looking red because then people think it's like some sort of defect or something like that. Oh, did you get sunburned there? I'm like, no. You know, it's like Martin Cove asked me about that. I'm like, no, I tan. It's all right when he says it, but I don't want to hear anybody else say it. So it's just kind of obnoxious. I had people that, I think it's like 3 years ago at Myrtle Beach, I had like total strangers walk up to me. Man, what happened to you? You're red as a lobster. I'm like, get the hell out of here. You know, it's not a pleasant conversation starter. Like, who the hell are you? And who are you to sit there and tell me what you think about the color of my skin?
Man,
don't you know, but I don't know.
You know what sucks is I've been on this vacation now since this past Saturday, and I swear I feel like almost every day it's just been like cloudy or overcast. The sun hasn't been out that much.
No, it hasn't.
And I imagine it's going to be like this all through next week because I'm off next week as well. And then when I go back to work, the sun's just going to come out and it's going to be pretty every fucking day. And I'm just, bums me out.
Yeah, I was hoping to be able to enjoy some nice weather up at the lake. But, you know, Mom was telling me, like, doesn't look like it's going to be looking too good even into next week. I'm like, shit.
Yeah. It's just because I'm on vacation. When I go back, the weather will be great for you.
Well, but then work starts picking up gradually for me too. So it's
we're about reaching that time. I've been going into Target and Walmart, and just all the back to school things are out with the little pamphlets. So these are the colored pencils that you need.
I still don't enjoy seeing that stuff, even at this age. Like,
I've gotten older, like it makes me happy. Because now I know, like, during the week I can go to the store and there's not going to be a bunch of kids in there running around crying and shit like they've been doing. It's been so annoying. what a great off-topic conversation to
I think anybody can relate that even if you have kids and you go in solo to a Target or Walmart, it's hard to go in and not look for a new shirt, a present for somebody, or a movie or a toy or whatever. And someone is putting their kid, and they just scream and yell, "Don't make me break my foot off in your ass!"
Yeah,
you know. And
then they start just counting to 10.
Yeah, because that always works. Threatening to leave them in public, and you know that's what we want to hear. We don't want to hear you threaten your children in public because you lack the certain discipline skills to.
I'm like, just take them outside. You know, like anytime I did that, my dad hooked me by the arm, and we were outside. In the car, and then we either had a talk or he was like, "Well, you know, when you get home, you're gonna get a whipping." And I was like, "Oh no, no!"
Just the buildup alone was enough torment.
Yeah, no, it really was.
Yeah, it's always funny to hear other people's stories of how they were disciplined as kids when it comes to spankings and whippings and stuff like that. Like just the other people sharing the fear of that oncoming. You know, bam, you know, from your father or hell, even your mother. Moms weren't afraid to, you know, dish out spankings as well. So,
well, I mean, at first I was intimidated by my mother's spankings and then it became funny. I'm like, oh, that wasn't that hard. And she's like, well, I'll get your dad to do it. And then I just started pleading for mercy automatically. No, don't get him into this.
You can hit me harder.
It still hurts. Don't worry about it. Yeah.
It's always funny to hear people trying to negotiate before you bring in the muscle to come in and do all the. It's like you're being sent into like the torture chamber. You're, like, you're being chained up. You're being lashed like Johnny Rico in Starship Troopers. It's like your dad hands you this piece of wood. Bite down on this, son. It helps. I know. You're like biting on it. One, two. Publicly lashed in front of your family or your mom, or it might as well be in public because you feel embarrassed when it's all over anyway.
I never felt embarrassed when it was over.
I was always embarrassed because it was just a humiliating, you know, experience. Like, I shouldn't.
Well, I mean, you usually had more of an audience, right? Because your brother was probably around laughing at you.
The first major one I got, my brother hadn't been born yet, and then I remember the second one. Derek was around, but he was I was being rude to my mom because she was helping me with my homework, and my dad had enough of it and sent me upstairs. So it was just me and my dad, and I'm sitting there waiting with my bare ass there, and he's like, pull your pants up, you know, and then he gives me the spanking because I'm like presenting my bare butt, like, just get it over with. He's like, pull your pants up, you know, and then he lays into me, and then I go downstairs all hobbled and broken. I'm sorry, Mom.
I imagine our listeners are like, enough of this shit. Will you just get to the episode
talk
already?
Talk about the X-Men.
Yeah, so. we're hitting you with Night of the Sentinels Part 2. Unfortunately, for this episode and the following episode that we're going to do right after this one, The Unstoppable Juggernaut, the Daily Motion links are a little finicky. It was either mirrored or kind of sped up a little bit, and I don't really want to do that to you guys. So you're kind of fending for yourselves on these two episodes. You know, you can buy the episodes on iTunes, or if you have the DVD, please pop that in and join along with us. But yeah, I kind of hated that because all the Batman episodes that are on there, perfectly fine for the most part.
It's hard to say because I mean, it was so easy to watch so many things on Daily Motion with no problem, no ads. Now it's like they're getting attention and
yeah, they smartened up.
Yeah, so yeah, it's only a matter of time. So
yeah, it's only a matter of time before they're all just probably gone anyway. But yeah, or you know, you can just watch along as we just kind of stare down at parts of our screens or the TV and. Hopefully it'll still be fun enough for you. Cause I mean, most of the time our conversation sort of stays in line with the property we're talking about, but sort of veers off from the episode itself. So maybe that'll be fun. If you don't have the DVD and are kind of cheap, like some of us that I know,
well,
me
hell,
included.
I mean, I always enjoy listening to people's commentary because I'm pretty familiar with most of the stuff people have done commentaries for. So it's just kind of fun to envision what they're just seeing in my head and listen to the conversation as it goes along. If you enjoy the conversation and you like our voices, what we have to say, it still hopefully makes it easy listening and makes you want to go track down the DVDs or purchase them on iTunes for $1.99 or whatever. So,
or just fend for yourself on the Daily Motion links and watch it at 1.5 speed.
And or a cropped out version where you can't see half of it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a bummer, but. So. Yeah. All right. You want to give us that countdown, huh?
I'll give you the Magneto countdown here. 3, 2, 1, play.
All right. So we're going to get a little recap of what happened in the
previously
episode.
On X-Men. Always loved hearing that as a kid.
You know, Jubilee's like, I'm only a kid. What do they want with me?
I mean, a lot of times I took it as like a sign that a new episode was coming, even though they would always play previously on X-Men, and sometimes they would play the shows out of continuity, but for the most part, they would play them in the correct order. So sometimes it would kind of let you know, if you're kind of watching it random, okay, they're playing first the recap Night of the Sentinels Part 1, Part 2 must be up next. So it kind of led you to believe what was coming up. So I always liked having these recaps. It was a smart thing because not a lot of cartoons had these prologues to catch the viewers up to speed in case you did miss something. It was a wise decision on Larry and company to, and I'm assuming this may have been Larry's decision. I don't know whose decision it was, but it was smart to let everyone know what they had missed or try and seek it out. Cause you know, most of the first season was available on VHS as well too. So you could always seek them out or check in each Saturday to get caught up.
And didn't Pizza Hut 2 also at one point have a thing where they were selling the VHSs? Were those any different?
They had VHSs.
Releases?
They had different covers. They had different covers, and they also had collector cups as well, I remember, I think. I never had any of the VHS tapes because me and my brother only had the Night of the Sentinels Part 1 and 2 on VHS, and we just were content to kind of watch whatever we caught on TV. Had we been given them, thrilled to have. I remember Josh Rapp had some of the peak because he was like the heart, like only X-Men. That was it. He wasn't like Spider-Man or the Marvel Universe. It was all about X-Men, and he had some of those. Pretty even X-Men comics as well. Pissed me off, But I remember for the most part, I was trying to remember too, when Night of the Sentinels originally aired, I remember seeing like both parts played back to back. Like I think it played as one. I maybe, but I remember on the VHS as well, it plays both parts back to back as like one episode.
Man, for those of you that are catching the YouTube video, man, Tyler, you're kind of looking like Joe over there on that end. Just really, really I'm grainy,
like Joe.
Yeah, it's like really, really grainy on your end.
I don't know what's going on. I had iPad here for this, so it's not like I'm using like some RCA home video recorder or something like that taped up, or not quite sure what the reason behind it is, but. Smells trouble here. You know, and it's I didn't really appreciate how good the storytelling was as a kid, because for me, I always wanted to see the X. Am I any better as I'm talking? Or
yeah, no, I mean, it kind of lags a little bit in and out.
Okay. Well, I guess as long as the audio sticks, I'm not too worried about the video quality. But I was so excited and just wanted to see the villain show up. And, you know, as an adult, I appreciate the storytelling of, you know, it's more about the X-Men versus the humans and, you know, the oppression that mutants are dealing with, you know, and the loss of Morph, which was he was intended to die. Which was a ballsy thing to do. And I, you know, and looking back at it too, like as a kid, I know a lot of cartoons were always worried about you can't have death in cartoons. You can't reference killing or certain subjects and stuff. And I mean, being a kid of the 80s, when you're introduced to rated R films and kick-ass cartoons back then, like I just couldn't fathom knowing a kid watching and being crushed that a character died on the show. Obviously he didn't, but he was set up to die as kind of like a plot point for the characters for Cyclops and Wolverine, you know, to butt heads over and question Cyclops' leadership because of Morph's death. But it's just one of those things where, like, I think it's an awesome thing that they did, because I know that the intention was the character to die, to bring him back at the hands of Mr. Sinister later on. But still, I think that should be for them to go in that direction. I mean, it's not like it's a gruesome death, but it's implied that yes, he's dead.
Yeah, they don't even really show it at all either. It's just sort of
It's just kind of implied. Yeah. You know, and then when they leave him behind, that they're, and that's one of getting around it, you know, that you don't really have to sit there and say he's dead, you know, his head's, you know, sitting in the palm of a sentinel right now or something like that. It's, you imply it and let the characters carry the emotional weight of the viewers, the kids can, you know, sympathize. And of course, as a kid, I'm sympathizing strictly with Wolverine and nobody else. You know, at that time, I'm like, I like Cyclops, but Wolverine takes priority.
Yeah, these guys just get destroyed right here.
Yeah, and this is what you really want to see too. You know, it's good to not, you know, the first episode. Like, this is a showcase of what the mutants are essentially up against in their world. And you want to see what they all can do. You want to be able to see what Cyclops can do. Gambit, Rogue, Wolverine, Storm, Morph, Beast. It's a great way of showcasing what these characters can do in two episodes, so that when the series takes off, you don't have to stop and explain everything. So I think it was very smart storytelling. And plus, Larry was such a big fan of the Sentinels. I favored storylines and characters as well that the X-Men have dealt with are the Sentinels. So that's why they are featured so heavily in the first season, because he's a big fan of that. God, the toy line that Toy Biz was putting for the toys looked so good. They were spot on from the cartoon and how they looked in the comics as well.
Yeah, I had quite a few of them. I had, let's see, Wolverine, Gambit. And who else did I have?
That's a cool shot of Rogue flying.
I'm trying to. I really honestly can't remember who all I had from the line.
We had, I mean, I remember specifically, like, we had a yard sale. I told my mom, I was like, I want to go to Walmart and get Wolverine. We went to Walmart in Christiansburg before it was Super Walmart back in the early 90s and got this Wolverine. I was so pumped. Like, I could not wait to get my hands on having a Wolverine action figure. And then we went and saw The Sandlot after that. So that was a fun day.
Fantastic movie.
Yeah. That's what we want to see. We want to see Wolverine really cut loose. And, of course, here's the inevitable death of Morph, so to speak. I like to believe that he died. I mean, even though he's brought back, but it helps sell what they're going through and that they do experience loss at times.
We're getting to one of my favorite parts of the episode because Wolverine's just pissed.
Yeah. And, you know, when I watch this as an adult, though, like, I see it from both sides. And I think that that's what makes good writing and great characters, that you don't immediately want to kick Cyclops' ass. Like, you understand. Like, look,
I mean, I would.
Well, of course you would, because you hate Cyclops. I like Cyclops. But Wolverine, you know, is my favorite, aside next to Colossus and Nightcrawler. But, I love that. Like, it's so awesome to see what you see in the comic books, to see this aggression that these two have had for years with each other. You know, Wolverine always there to question Cyclops' leadership and to actually make physical contact with him too, because that was something that you didn't see a whole lot in action cartoons. And I love that this cartoon didn't shy away from, like, because they did have to dance around the violence a lot as opposed to what you get away with the comics. And Larry addressed that in the interview I did with him. Because you do see, I mean, blood on
that. Well, I mean, that's a good thing about them having lasers too. Like, if they're not actually shooting like real guns with bullets, then I feel like you can get away with a lot more. Here's my favorite part of the episode.
Well, this was like Nathan any day at work.
Yeah, made him a convertible.
Yeah, that's badass. Wolverine taking off in his Jeep. It's just fun seeing all the emotion that the whole team is going through and telling Wolverine, you know, don't beat yourself up about this. And
yeah, and now we actually get that flashback to what happened.
You know, and Morph, I just didn't think too much of him as a kid. I mean, even when I watched this, I didn't. Of course, I felt bad for Beast because I like Beast and, you know, and the continuity of him being, you know, imprisoned and awaiting his day in court because he wants to do things by the book and show that mutants can be just as human as anybody else can. But I wasn't bothered at all by Morph's because I really didn't have an attachment to him because at the time I wasn't sure if he was an original member of the X-Men or not, because this was my biggest gateway to the X-Men universe, aside from the trading cards and toys that I had been introduced to a couple years earlier. So all this was pretty, like, I didn't know who Rogue was, didn't know the Sentinels, I didn't know Gambit, because Gambit was relatively new anyway, but I didn't know Jean Grey. Storm I knew. That first Toy Biz X-Men line that came out that had Wolverine in the Golden Maroon outfit and had Apocalypse, Juggernaut, and stuff like that. That was my, I think that and the Pride of the X-Men pilot, which I didn't actually see. I just saw commercials, but it was just cool to see the X-Men. And as an adult, I'm watching the Sentinel storyline, and God, I just appreciate it so much more as an adult. Because of the importance of the Sentinels, what they stand for, what they're used for, and just battling, you know, oppression, that it's not always about, all right, who's the villain they're fighting this week, which was a big deal to me as a kid. Like, are they fighting Magneto? Are they fighting Juggernaut? Mr. Sinister? Apocalypse? Pyro? Blob? So it's just so much more fun to watch these kind of character-driven stories where it's not really about the villain of the week. It's about the human characteristics and the personal problems that these guys go through, which makes them such a relatable group. Seeing probably what just what kind of, or how powerful Rogue is.
Yeah. And we get to actually see a bit more of that when we do our Juggernaut episode after this one in regards to Rogue.
I like this moment here, just moments like this, Wolverine and Solace, you know, thinking vengeance. And of course, when he goes out of his zone, it has that fun little bar incident. I love how the Sentinels talk too. Like I just that's definitive to me. Like if you see Sentinels in the comics or any other, like that's just how I would envision they would talk. A lot of tears being shed in this episode too, which is, it's fun to see that kind of devotion. I just love how intelligent Beast is and how passive he is, and you know.
One of the few parts about that shitty third film was Kelsey Grammer.
Kelsey Grammer was a fantastic Beast. God, he was awesome. Still, I still remain was the best interpretation of the character. I think Nicholas Holt, I think it's his name, that was in the First Class films. That's played him in Days of Future Past, and he did a good job as well. But, I mean, Kelsey Grammer was born to play Beast, and it's unfortunate it wasn't in the best film, but definitely one of the biggest highlight of that film.
I like how this one biker dude, it just sounds like
Jack Nicholson.
Yeah, like a just cheap ass Jack Nicholson.
Yeah. Which you just kind of feel like when the voice actor is like, okay, can I do like a Jack Nicholson impression for this random, you know, guy in a bar? I mean, who doesn't want to like address, you know, a possible fight or a threat the way Wolverine, like, okay, you got a problem with me? All right, let's see how you handle it. And show him what kind of guy Cyclops is, that even though they don't get along at all, he's still going to go out by himself to get Wolverine back, to try and talk to him. There's Ruby Quartz sunglasses there. Some powerful stuff. And it's interesting that they do make a point of drawing Wolverine at his shorter height, you know, because, I mean, honestly, we don't want to see, I almost feel like visually, you know, it's more fun to see Wolverine that not super short, even though technically, yes, he's a very short, not like dwarf size.
What you're saying, because any other time you've seen him in the video games and stuff, he's usually shorter than the other characters, a little more hunched over too.
Yeah. Whereas like Hugh Jackman, you know, is a relatively tall guy. And I think from a movie standpoint, visually, you see Wolverine look technically as small as he is, because I think he's like 5'5", 5'4", something like that in the comics. It's like, when you look at like the trading cards, he's...
I like that part too. Sorry to interrupt you, but when he goes to like throw that, like it looks like he's going to put so much force behind it because he's angry, but just the way it shows the animation, it's like, eh.
Well, it's paper. But, paper's just going to like... it's.
Well, I know, but it looked like he was trying so hard to do something with it, but it just, I don't know, that kind of made me chuckle a little bit.
Well, of course, you know, he's a douchebag anyway, so you want to see him fail at everything. And it's fun, and I, you know, again, I appreciate all this character exposition that we're given here, and you know, Jubilee situation, and Cyclops being the, you know, a low key representative for mutants, so to speak. And it's just fun and interesting to see this kind of storytelling, so to speak. That it's not always action.
Man, I'd like shit my pants if a Sentinel alarm just dropped right in front of my window while I was watching TV.
God, yeah.
My luck, it would probably just go through the house and not land in the yard.
And then I'd be getting a text from late night. You wouldn't believe the shit, man. A Sentinel went through my damn, you know, back, tore up the house, woke the dogs up. Now I'll never get to sleep. Worst day ever. By the way, what time do you want to do the podcast tomorrow?
Yeah. I'd be like, there's our dilapidated building in Detroit, Michigan.
Yeah.
What were you going to say? I don't know what.
I just say, yeah, dude. Yeah, we'll figure it out.
No, I need a time. It sounded too like the female president was almost kind of doing like a Bill Clinton impression too. We never really touched on that early on.
Yeah.
But I kind of appreciate that too, just because it sort of made it timely for what was going on currently.
Yeah,
because
you know, I know sometimes they will use when if they're gonna reference our world, you know, they'll use a president or someone that's kind of reminiscent of a current president. And this, you know, even though they're kind of doing a little jab at the current president, making the president a female, I thought that was a nice little, you know, it's simple. It doesn't affect the story. I mean, it's different
because some of them, they just want to be like, all right, let's put the old crusty white guy as our president. I'm glad that some cartoons and even a lot of movies, too, changed up. Like, here's a female president. You know, here's a black president, which those things at the time just seemed almost unreachable.
Like, even though Deep Impact is a movie that sucks balls, I thought it was cool. Like, Morgan Freeman is this music
sound. Yeah.
It's badass.
Yeah, Deep Impact.
That's the only thing I took away from the movie that I was cool, because, like, the movie sucks.
Yeah.
So does Armageddon. Both of them suck.
Yeah, they both suck.
That's the only thing I pull away from it.
But I would give the nod to Armageddon, I guess. Definitely over Deep Impact.
I wouldn't give a nod to either one of them. I hated both of them. Because all that bullshit Aerosmith video that kept playing. Like, my eyes. Like, stop playing it on the damn video.
Oh, man. Well, all right. If you had to pick one between Dante's Peak and Volcano, which one would you pick?
Oh, God, man. Just getting worse and worse here. Neither one of them.
They're both pretty fucking terrible.
I don't want to watch anything if that's my choice. I just watch the grass grow or paint dry or just...
Look at your asshole in the mirror for 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I would much really do that for an hour and a half than have to watch either one of those or any of those four. God, no. I'd rather just watch a cow take a big endless dump or something like that. I mean, that's more entertaining than watching Dante's Peak or Volcano or Armageddon. All that crap.
I really wish Rogue would have done more in the films, you know, because
it's a shame too, especially when they want to try. And of course, I still almost feel like the female superhero has not been made as prominent until recent years. And obviously, I mean, they had Storm and Jean play prominent roles. Wolverine climbing up the back. God, this is a great animation here.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a shame that, you know, God, this is what you're just building up to, just like Wolverine cut loose. I mean, you know, that was a scene that was definitely given a lot of precision there in terms of, like, what you wanted to see from that. Thanks, Larry. But, it's a shame that Rogue just never really got to do, I mean, Jack Squat in any of the X-Men films. And she's such a great character. And I mean, that's why, you know, I know he's been given the rights for the X-Men and Fantastic Four. Not that they'll do anything grandiose with it, because I mean, people who listen to me on other podcasts know what I think about the current Marvel movies and stuff like that, but I still feel like there's so much room for improvement on the X-Men mythology.
There's improvement all across the board, you know.
Yeah, I mean, all the superhero movies, I mean, people can like all of them, but I'm like, dude, there's room for improvement. There's villains we have yet to see. You know, and the X-Men is no exception. I mean, Hugh Jackman is the definitive Wolverine. I think we can all agree to that. I still think Dougray Scott, who was originally cast to play Wolverine and had to bow out due to Mission Impossible 2 withholding him from that, I think he would have been a really awesome Wolverine had he been given the opportunity. But Rogue needs to be portrayed the way, you know, this way, you know, the Rogue that stole the powers from Miss Marvel, you know, that she can fly, just kick ass all over the place, and then steal people's powers and stuff like that as well. An excellent beginning to the X-Men saga that would go on for about 5 years. And, you know, it's definitely, I mean, it's a flawless beginning. I mean, it really is.
You know, ever since you mentioned, I never noticed it really as a kid, but when you brought it up when we watched part one, that the end credits as it's showing like the powers and abilities and clicks on them, and then like it clicks on Jubilee, and then here's just wipes away. That's so funny to me.
Yeah, because me and my brother used to laugh about that all the time. We're like, and Wolverine is at the very end and then clicks on Jubilee. And then I used to just wonder if that was done intentionally. Like, even the powers behind the cartoon as a kid, we just thought, like, yeah, they didn't like Jubilee either.
It might be.
It may just be sheer coincidence, you know? That's all. But it's just, I just thought it was funny. Me and my brother used to laugh about that a lot because, I mean, I didn't mind Jubilee, but we certainly like weren't going to go and buy like her action figure or anything.
Oh,
like
yeah.
That.
No, I think even if I saw it for like 50 cents today, but no, I'm good.
I mean, it would be cool because, I mean, as a kid, I was always after whoever I could get from, you know, I always wanted Forge. I did have Cable. You know, I didn't have Gambit, oddly enough. I think my brother ended up getting Gambit a little later on, but didn't have Gambit. You know, Apocalypse was one of the better of the toy biz ones with the detachable arms because he was big and bulky. God, he looked awesome. And, you know, Magneto looked great. Sabretooth, I hated Sabretooth's knees didn't bend because all the X-Men figures, their knees could bend. They could bend at the elbows, and they had an action feature. And Sabretooth, you could just open his mouth up and his claws, but his legs were straight. And I'm like, damn it, he's got no articulation in his legs. This figure sucks. you just couldn't pose him, you know? It just hated that. Everybody else, from Rogue, Storm, Forge, Mr. Sinister, Apocalypse, I was trying to think of another one off the top of my head, Cable, G.W. Bridge from X-Force, I mean, all of them, you could bend their knees and pose and stuff like that, but Sabretooth couldn't. The first Sabretooth that came based on the 80s design and the 70s cut look, you could bend his knees, but I'm like, this is worthless to me. If I can't bend the knees, you know, it was worthless to me. Random rant there, but I'm sure others who collected the X-Men toy biz line, I'm sure that they probably, there's got to be somebody else out there that felt the same way I did about that Sabretooth figure.
Right.
All right, but, well, I guess we can wrap this one up and so we can prepare for the unstoppable Juggernaut next.
Yeah, which is like a really fun episode. Just
damn right it is.
Yeah, an appearance and introduction to Colossus, which is one of your favorite X-Men, especially in the arcade game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we maybe have to discuss that briefly.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, a brief moment. We'll probably go into like a 3-4 minute rant. Sorry, guys. The episode's over now. Whoops. There were the credits. But thanks, everyone, for watching episode 13 with us. If you're stumbling upon on Podbean or on iTunes, look up Beyond Retro on YouTube. And that should bring up a good meaty list of not only our podcast, but some of the capes and commentaries that we've done previously. If you are joining us on YouTube, you're one of our subscribers already. Make sure you hit the description below and like that Facebook page. And check out the Podbean links. That way, if you want to download those MP3s or whatnot, take us where you want to go, I guess. I'm kind of curious, honestly, from the standpoint of what people do with podcasts in general. Is it primarily that they're on iTunes and they subscribe, so they automatically download to their device? Do they go, because, you know, I've looked at the Podbean numbers and those do pretty decent. Are those guys just downloading the MP3? What are they doing with them after that? Are they uploading them onto iTunes? Or are they just playing the MP3 on their computer? I'm really kind of curious what people do with our content, because, you know, some people might just have the YouTube video playing on their phone and just listen to that while they're in the car too. But regardless of whichever way you do it, thank you for the support and checking out everything that we do.
Yeah, and anybody that listens to this, if you have an episode or a series you'd like us to, hey, you know, it's fun listening to you guys. Hey, you guys going to do, Spectacular Spider-Man? Hell yeah, we will. Or, Wolverine and the X-Men, which is another great X-Men series. I'm sure we'll get into at some point. You have a suggestion, you know, we like to know people are listening and that they like what we have to say. So don't hesitate to
leave a comment down below.
Yeah.
Comment on the
any feedback is appreciated.
Yeah. All right, sir. You ready for episode 14?
Yeah. We'll move on to the next one, bud.
All righty.